All right, everyone. Last looks. Quiet on set. Roll sound. Sound speed. Roll camera. Camera speed. Scene one, take one. Mark it. And action. Hi, I'm Ed, the host of Savannah on Film, and we explore the economic and cultural impact and values of the film industry in Savannah through conversations with people who work in the industry and related fields. You can find us here on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Chair a little higher here. Alrighty then. Welcome to Savannah on Film, where I have headphones in the way. Sorry, I've had too much caffeine, y'all. Don't give me caffeine. It's kind of like a gremlin.
Got fed after midnight.
Yeah, after midnight. You don't feed me. Don't feed me anything unless it's KFC, coleslaw, or what's the other thing I like? I don't know. Anyway, so now I'm babbling. welcome to a super fantastic episode I've been looking forward to. I hope you all have too. I have got Mr. Let the Record Show, Charles J. Bowen, or as you may know him, Bo Bowen. So welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Ed. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for agreeing to come and sit a spell with me here and talk to all the wonderful film folk out there. But before I get into everything, let me and your introduction, I want to tell you why we're here. Why are we here? Where are we? That's a deep question. All right. First off, I want to welcome. Yeah, you got an answer? Okay, I hope so. I hope so. If not, it's going to be a short journey to Mars. I don't know. Our purpose here is to explore the economic and cultural impact and values of the film industry in Savannah through conversations with people who work in the industry and related fields. We're here on the fantabulous WRUU 107.5 FMLP, Savannah's number one radio station voted by you, the listeners. Yes, thank you very much. Clap, clap, clap. And we're also number one talk radio in Savannah. So congratulations and thank you all for making that happen. It's the listeners that make it happen. And we appreciate you so much here. And like I said, we're WRUU 107.5 FMLP Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. I have to do the voice there. When you say global soul, you can't just say it high-pitched like I do. Yeah. Don't forget, WRUU is on Twitter. Yes. At WRUU1075. That's at WRUU1075. And I promise to be very zen the rest of this interview. So
I don't believe you.
I know. I've got some water here. Shout out to Fox and Fig. I went in there to grab me some water, and the lady gave it to me for free. And I looked at her and was like, what? So I didn't think people did that, but you're getting a shout out. Okay. All right, focus, Ed, get to work. So let me tell you about, and chime in any time you want to here, Bo. I can call you Bo, right?
Of course.
Of course. Okay. If not, you should just get up and walk out. Then I would be like, what?
Or Mr. Bowen.
Mr. Bowen? Okay. Sir.
Bo is fine.
All right. And I feel like I need dramatic music for this introduction, but here we go. based out of Savannah. Charles Bowen is a business attorney who focuses on commercial, banking, entertainment, and manufacturing law, and also offers comprehensive meditation services. Mediation. I can't read my own handwriting. Do you offer meditation?
I can assure you that I do not.
You do not. Do you not offer meditation?
It is not a Zen place.
It is not a Zen
office, typically.
It is not a Zen place. Okay. That is wild. So you offer mediation services, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Let me kick this up for a second. Okay, there we go. Bo.
You really don't have to do an introduction. We can just start talking.
Yeah, I usually throw the script away anyway. So you got your first Academy Award and
okay. I'll take it.
You're in entertainment law. What's that for the uninitiated, sir?
Well, it's a subset of just general business corporate law. It involves every aspect of production, and you know, you can do full legal beginning at the very beginning when you're just starting to put the production together and putting everyone under contract, to just things that arise locally when productions come to town. A lot of times, productions that come to Savannah already have their attorney involved, but they still need someone locally, whether it's things like, permits, negotiating with local vendors, and then always little things that pop up that you don't expect, like, let's say, Shia LaBeouf gets arrested, something like that.
I know what he said. He's like, whoa. So, I don't suppose you can say anything about that now, can you?
Well, I can tell you that the most challenging part of that situation was that Alabama also had a warrant for Mr. LaBeouf and tried to extradite him from Georgia to Alabama, which really would have thrown Peanut Butter Falcon behind schedule had that happened. But it turns out, as the state of Alabama quickly learned, you can't extradite someone for a misdemeanor from one state to another. So we were able to get that pitched out really quickly.
So they didn't have the right lawyer, I guess. The right representation.
Well,
I don't know.
Mr. LaBeouf thankfully did. And Peanut Butter Falcon, by the way, is supposed to be a fantastic movie.
Some of the early reviews I've seen, it just looks awesome. And it's, I don't know. Maybe it's his way of getting his career back on a higher level, you know, after the Transformers. I don't want to talk about Bayformers right now, because I might work with Michael Bay one day, which I'd love to. Go Bumblebee. Y'all get that reference. Anyway, so that's entertainment law in just a nut, or that's an example of it. You attended Mercer University in Macon.
Right.
And you are recognized within the community, the film community here. You're a big player with the Savannah Film Alliance that you created, correct, in 2015?
Back in 2015, right.
Tell us a little bit about that. What was the genesis of that?
Well, as my practice started trending more toward entertainment law, and I was meeting with a lot of different individuals, a lot of different groups, governmental entities, that type of thing, and I would, just simply be asking them what their goals were, what they were trying to accomplish, and it became clear that, I would say, well, this group over here is trying to do the same thing. Have you spoken with them about it, about maybe joining forces? And a lot of times I'd get a response of, well, I've never even heard of that group before, much less working together with them. So I had the idea of it seems like it would be a very productive endeavor to try to get everyone in the industry together in one room, not just to get to know each other, but also, to kind of brainstorm and identify maybe the challenges facing the growth of the industry in Savannah, and how can we pool all of our resources and our abilities together to try to meet those challenges. So that was the genesis of it. We met the first time, and I had a much bigger crowd than anticipated, and now it's grown to over 500 members.
Wow, that's impressive. Where can people find Savannah Film Alliance?
Well, there's a website, savannahfilmalliance.org, where you could just, through that website, send me your email. And there's no charge or anything. It's a purely grassroots type organization.
Okay.
But shoot me your email. There's a contact form on the site. I'll add you to the Savannah Film Alliance email listing, mm-hmm. and then you'll get notice of all the meetings. And the next meeting, we try to meet 4 times a year. The next meeting will be August 1st from 3 to 5 at Savannah Tech. Room 7126.
John Grace's room.
Yes. Then,
from GFA.
Very appreciative to Dr. Love at Savannah Tech for always being very generous with allowing us to meet there.
Yeah, thank you very much. They do a lot. I came through GFA, and so very thankful for Savannah Tech and for that program. And let's get to the meat and bones of it. What are some challenges we're facing? You mentioned like challenges and different things in the industry that Savannah Film Alliance. How is it an advocate for the film industry? And what are some of those challenges that maybe we're facing as you see?
Well, every year it's been different. So the challenges we were looking at in 2015, you know, that was when the industry was really just starting to grow. And it's grown every year since. And so as you look each year at what the challenges are, you know, we're able to meet some, you know, and then something new arises or we start aiming higher. And right now, I would say midway through 2019, obviously there are some challenges on the horizon, namely the heartbeat, now law, not bill.
Okay. And let's dive head first, you know, deer in the headlights right into that. I have some questions, let's see. I'm trying to think. What's your takeaway from that legislation? What do you think the outcome will actually be, in your opinion?
Well, I think that in terms of that legislation's relation to the entertainment industry, the film and television industry, it's exceedingly important that that law not actually go into effect, which it's scheduled to do January 1st, 2020. Luckily, and I was a big advocate for this with all, you know, the major production studios, you know, there were, of course, as you know, there were a lot of people that called for an immediate boycott. But luckily, that law did build in this waiting period before it went into effect. And, you know, we were able to successfully advocate to most of the large studios that let's wait and see if the law goes into effect. Let's let the legal process run its course before you start pulling people out of Georgia and you start affecting the livelihoods of these people who have, you know, dedicated their lives to this profession. So the looking at it now going forward from where we are. So first of all, the ACLU has filed a challenge, a legal challenge, did that about a week ago. They have, as part of that, they've asked, it goes to a district court judge first, federal court. They've asked the district court judge to enter an injunction keeping the law from going into effect until that case is decided. Now, one of two things could potentially happen before 2020. One, the case could actually get decided by the district court judge, or he could grant that injunction, keeping it from going into effect while it's still pending. Either one of those, I think, will be a victory, including it actually being decided, because when you look at the law on its face, it is 100%, not 99.9, 100% unconstitutional under the current state of the law, under the all the current Supreme Court rulings. So
because of Roe v. Wade?
Roe v. Wade and a series of cases that came afterwards that defined it even further. So, and even the proponents, I don't think I'm saying anything controversial, even the proponents say, yes, we realize it's unconstitutional, but we're doing it, we're passing it anyway because we want to mount a challenge to Roe v. Wade in those cases. So the first step that will happen almost certainly is the district court will strike it down. So at that point, it gets appealed to the 11th Circuit. The 11th Circuit is a little interesting in that there's 12 judges. six appointed by Republicans, six appointed by Democrats. But most cases, they have the option to have all 12 judges hear a matter, but most cases are heard by a panel of three that are kind of randomly selected. So who knows which three will get it, but still they're bound by precedent, which is crystal clear. So again, it will almost certainly be struck down by the 11th Circuit and held to be unconstitutional. And that's where the only real risk comes in, because at that point, it would be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay. And the U.S. Supreme Court has the option of whether or not to hear it. Thus far, all of these similar laws have been struck down, and the Supreme Court has refused to hear any of them. So none of them have gone into effect anywhere in the country. But if the Supreme Court were to just say, you know what, we're going to hear it, it's now a majority conservative Supreme Court, so it would be, yeah, you don't know what could happen.
But as we speak, at least until January, am I correct? It's still it's not the law of the land yet.
It's not even the law of the state of Georgia. A law that's passed, but by its own terms, it doesn't actually go into effect until January 1st of 2020. Right.
Everybody I know in the industry is terrified. They're terrified that it gets passed and our industry is gutted here in Georgia. That could happen, couldn't it?
Well,
what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, let's take
best case. Either way.
I think the most likely scenario is that it's going to be struck down and it'll be just a footnote in the dustbin of history. Okay. But worst case scenario, Supreme Court hears it. They change the law of the land, and suddenly in Georgia, it's illegal to get an abortion after 6 weeks. And, there's a big outcry in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Now, people love to point to North Carolina and happened to North Carolina after the passage of the bathroom bill. Mm-hmm. Right. And everybody remembers the entertainment industry, the sporting industry, everything really suffered a giant hit there. But one important distinction between the two is not only was the bathroom bill passed, but North Carolina also curtailed their entertainment incentives at the same time. Georgia thus far has not done that or even discussed doing that. So that may be a saving grace in a way, because there's always going to be, people that are, when they're putting up their own money, they're still going to be looking for the place where they can get the most bang for their buck.
Right. They're going to do what's the cheapest and most effective. Now, if the pressure becomes too much, then, in public opinion, overall public opinion, they might shift and they might say, okay, we're pulling this production out, which productions have pulled out some from Georgia. But some have stayed. Some are just saying, it's a wait and see.
Right, exactly.
And that's probably, I think, the best approach,
There's a very, prevalent saying right now in the entertainment industry of stay and fight. Why turn tail and run in a situation like this?
Right.
Come to the state and start working on changing the hearts and minds of the people of this state and getting these people that are voting for legislation like that right out of office. That's the only way you're going to actually effectuate any change. You're not going to effectuate any actual change by taking your ball and going home. And let me talk about that a minute,
because
there is, again, we were talking about distinctions between Georgia and North Carolina.
Yes.
Let me make a distinction between this and the adoption bill that came along a couple of years ago. A lot of people said Disney started threatening to pull out, and so the governor vetoed the bill, so it proved that boycotts could work. Again, big difference. You had Governor Sonny Perdue at the time. Now you have Governor Brian Kemp. Governor Sonny Perdue was always a very big proponent of the entertainment industry. He made that clear. He was a very savvy, experienced businessman. He understood that the benefit of those production dollars being spent in the state of Georgia, and nothing thus far that I've heard Governor Kemp say or do shows me or gives me any confidence that he has that same level of understanding or that same appreciation for what the industry means to the state of Georgia. So I don't think threatening him in any way is going to have any real impact.
Right. Hmm. Heavy stuff.
It's not fun, but it's not fun. I do believe in the legal process. I do believe that the law will be struck down. I think it's almost a certainty. Timing is more of a little bit of a risk, but and then we just keep our fingers crossed that the Supreme Court doesn't decide to do something wacky.
Yeah. And I don't know if I need to say this, but I will say personally that I respect people's rights on both sides of it. You know, I can see either side of it, and I respect people's rights to believe what they want to believe, and that this is America. We just, you know, celebrated our wonderful Independence Day, and we've got to find a way, personally, I think, to come together.
So
to agree to disagree. And
so in other words, Ed, what you're saying is you're a big proponent of choice.
Let the record show that you're leading the witness. I hold you in contempt. I don't know. But I just want to make sure that people realize we're not condoning either. We're trying to look at this objectively on both sides of it. And of course, that generally the entertainment industry has a real worry on their hands if this bill becomes the actual law of the land here. And I guess we'll see. And, you know, there'll be more discussion about it. But we have to be able to, I think, personally, be able to discuss these things. At times in this country, I think, with the rise of social media and 24-hour networks, and we lose that ability to differentiate between disagreeing with someone and then just, you know, utterly can't stand that person, or we strike down legislation because we don't believe in that person, or that person has an R or a D in front of their name.
You're absolutely right.
You know, and we've got, I can remember the days, I'm old enough to remember when people, even when they disagreed, they would still, at the end of the day, they could agree to disagree, and they'd find compromise, and they'd find ways forward together, because I think that's what we got to do, so...
Yes, those were the days prior to nasty Facebook and YouTube comments.
Yes, and we don't like those.
You know, you're right. There does have to be some way to move forward. It always strikes me, you know, coming from, you know, a legal background. Mm-hmm. I used to do some domestic law, and what used to drive me crazy is when I would see a mother and a father, all they cared about was making the other one look bad giving no consideration to how it was affecting the children. And that's how I feel about politics these days. The Democrats and the Republicans are so fighting each other and so focused on making each other look bad and wrong that they're losing sight of the country and the citizens and what is best for the average American. And that is highly disappointing.
Yeah, I've always thought we're more than just red and blue in this country. You know, I think we have a lot more in common than we have dissimilar in so many ways. And all right, so we tackled the hard question there, and we will see how time judges this bill and what effect it has on the industry. So let's talk. We're going to shift. I'm going to go ahead and hit an early break here so we're going to shift the mood here, and we're going to talk about this wonderful announcement you have.
Yes, something positive.
Something super positive that everyone is going to like. I thoroughly think they will. So hang on to whatever you're hanging on to, and we'll be right back on Savannah on Film with Bo Bowen. So hang on.
WRUU 107.5 FM is a new and different listener-supported and all-volunteer community radio station for Savannah. Our diverse broadcast and web programming is supported by generous listeners who value our passion and our spunk. We're independent of other media and receive no government or large corporate support. People like you are the largest and most important source of our funding. So go to WRUU.org to find out how you can make a one-time or monthly contribution. Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners and the readers of Connect Savannah for participating in the 2019 Best of Savannah poll. With your help, WRUU has been selected as the best local radio station and the best local talk radio station in Savannah. Thank you, Savannah, for listening and voting and supporting community radio.
This portion of WRUU LP Savannah Soundings programming is brought to you by listeners and by the Savannah Jazz Festival, which brings jazz and blues to Forsyth Park and other locations around Savannah from September 22nd to the 28th. The Savannah Jazz Festival is presented by the Coastal Jazz Association with investment from the City of Savannah. Evening concerts followed by nightly jam sessions bring artists such as Dolette McDonald, The Hundertones, Big Sam's Funky Nation, Vanessa Rubin, and Annette Cohen to Savannah. For more information, go to savannahjazzfest.com.
Tomorrow morning on WRUU, start your day with classical music at 6. At 8, Interfaith Voices is a syndicated program about faith in America. At 9, The Heart in the Hand brings you the best of the UU faith, meaning Unitarian Universalist, the UU in WRUU. At 11, we air the UU Church of Savannah Sunday morning service, followed at 12 by the First Baptist Church of Savannah Sunday morning service. Our latest schedule is always at WRUU.org. Thanks for listening.
The 100 Black Men of Savannah is a nonprofit organization that provides youth mentoring and scholarships to deserving youth in public schools across Chatham County. Programs include summer camps, tutorial services, a leadership academy, and financial literacy courses. For more information, visit 100blackmensavannah.org.
There you go. I was about to roll out of here. about to put the welcome back. I was about to put the outro music. I'm done. We're gonna liven up the mood. So we got everybody all glued to the radio like old time radio. I tell you, love it. I want to talk about the event of the season that's coming. It's the inaugural Savannah Film Alliance Honors Gala that's going to recognize film and television professionals. Tell me all about it, Bo.
Okay, well, let me tell you sort of the genesis of this idea. So over the years, I've been invited to speak at, you know, different organizations, and every once in a while, I'll get invited to speak at end-of-the-year galas of certain professional industries. Like, for example, last year, oddly enough, I spoke at the Savannah Dental Association for their end-of-the-year gala.
Did you get free dental work out of that?
I did not. Okay. And, of course, my first question was why, but I try to be entertaining. But
right.
As I have done this over the years, I thought, how is it that whether you're talking about, you know, insurance or dentistry or, you know, almost every industry, there's an end of the year kind of celebration, gala, party, whatever you want to call it.
Savannah loves a party.
Exactly. To kind of recognize and show appreciation to people that have really done some great things. And I was thinking, how is it of all industries, mm-hmm. the entertainment industry doesn't have anything like that exists? So that's what was sort of the impetus behind putting this together. So we decided and we looked at what should we do at the beginning of the year, late in the year. So we finally decided on September 28th of this year, 2019, mm-hmm. we're going to have the first ever Savannah Film Alliance Honors Gala, and it'll be held at Victory North. And if you're interested in sponsoring, getting tickets, all the information is at savannahfilmalliance.org on the website. So what we want to do mm-hmm. is, you know, when you think about entertainment industry awards, obviously you think of things like the Academy Awards, where you have people, you know, four nominees and then a winner announced. So you've got one winner and right. three losers who are walking away feeling terrible. So yeah. we didn't want that.
Smiling through their teeth.
Exactly.
So. I'm so glad she got that award. Meryl Streep needed another Oscar.
The whole idea here was more to do something more like the Kennedy Center Honors, where and to take people not – the people that everyone always talks about, that always get all the recognition and are always in the limelight, but instead recognize those crew members, those educators, those whoever it is, those people that are doing such tremendous hard work here under the radar, you know, underappreciated, and really give them a night to shine. Let all of us as an industry come together and show them the appreciation they so richly deserve. So there'll be eight individuals the first year that we will, you know, honor for their contributions to the industry as a whole. And then every year the idea is there'll be no repeat winners because there are so many great people doing great things. Every year, and I don't make the decision myself. There's a committee that chooses, you know, who they believe to, you know, should be picked this first year, and then as we go forward, you know, I don't want people getting mad at me. So don't I deserve that? But that's the problem. It's there are so many deserving people.
Well, not to interrupt, but. I mean, this sounds fascinating, but there are a lot of people out there that are up and coming in industry and are doing things in industry that aren't naturally good promoters. They're not good self promoters, you know. But there's some that you can see them on every TV show, you can hear them on the radio, you can hear them everywhere, and so it's nice to put a light on some of those people that maybe. Yeah. Are knocking it out, are doing it day in and day out. Not that the people that you see on TV aren't, you know.
Right,
those,
exactly. You know, and these are, you know, we're nice focusing more on, you know, below the line, people that when productions come to town, they invariably say, man, I really enjoyed working with this person. They made a huge difference. And so I'm really excited about it. But it's not just that. You know, it's fantastic to have those people getting the recognition they deserve. But it's also just going to be a crazy fun night. You know, we're talking.
And the theme is old Hollywood.
Hollywood, so, right. So there'll be a everyone come in their old Hollywood finest. We'll have a, you know, a costume designer that'll select the best dressed. And they'll be honored
themselves.
This is not
cosplay. It's not cosplay. So,
but, you know, we'll have live music. There'll be, you know, there's going to be an immersive dance experience.
Awesome.
You know, as people kind of mingle going on, there's, you know, red carpet, photographers, Klieg lights, you know, old cars. I mean, just it's going to be just one of the most fun nights that we could ever, put together.
It's going to be the talk of the town. Did we say how much it costs to attend?
There's two levels of tickets.
Okay.
So the VIP ticket, it's $150. Okay, and what you get, the extra with the VIP ticket is get to get in an hour early at 6:30. You get valet parking. You
get that's,
professional.
That's awesome in Savannah.
Yes.
Trust me.
There'll be this is my favorite part of it. You get a really nice VIP swag bag for the VIP
I love
ticket.
Swag.
And
we
this is not,
swag.
You know, we're not talking about, you know, a little plastic trinket. These will be some nice things in accordance with Hollywood tradition. You'll have the opportunity to win the costume, or I said costume, now you've got me saying.
I'm sorry.
The best dressed honor. So there's a whole list of things that you're eligible for at the VIP level.
So Thor, Black Panther, they weren't in old Hollywood. So
Tarzan, arguably.
I guess that's true. You could go as Tarzan.
Flash Gordon.
I think my wife was thinking Cary Grant or something for me. I can't remember which one. But
I see it,
or
totally.
Clark Gable. I can't remember. I could go as Jimmy Stewart. I used to do impressions. Anyway, it's not about me.
If for those that prefer, there's also a $75 general admission ticket. Entry at 7:30 with the general admission ticket. But everyone that comes will have, you know, access to open bar. It's a 21-plus event. So open bar, you know, food, all the entertainment, the you know, the after party, which will go from like 9:30 to 11, they're on site. You know, it's really just the goal is to make it the single most fun night that you could possibly have. So,
and will there be like national exposure on it? I mean, are y'all promoting it beyond just Savannah? I know it's on on social media and all that. So, so there'll be cover. I know there'll be coverage of it locally. I was just wondering if, you know, it would be cool if an affiliate picked it up and in Hollywood would say, wow, look what they're doing in Savannah.
Well, I would certainly hope so. Because yeah. I know one person who has been very supportive is Randy Davidson, who is the publisher of Georgia Entertainment News,
awesome.
Which goes across the whole state, obviously. And so he's been very supportive and you know, really spreading the news across the state. Mm-hmm. You know, we've already gotten a lot of interest from even from sponsors outside Savannah that want to, you know, give their pitch to the local entertainment industry. So it's I really think, especially for a first event, which, you know, a first time, mm-hmm. you know, there's a learning curve.
but there's going to be that buzz about it, and then year it can only get better.
That's my hope. But we're really doing everything we can think of. You know, we've got some great people on the committee trying to put this together that have experience with these type of events,
planning these and on a big scale. Because we don't always think big as we should. You know, because one of the things that we talk about on the show here on Savannah on Film is really focusing on, I call it the Nirvana effect. I don't know. I'm just made that up out of my head. But, you know, in music, Nirvana came from Seattle. They put Seattle on the map for that, you know, in the 90s. Savannah, I think, really needs to focus on not just the productions that come here, but we need to build up that community of filmmakers that we have. And we need to, what are your thoughts about the infrastructure and like from actual physical sound stages to funding for smaller films?
Well, all of those are a challenge. You know, the challenges that you hear, you know, most often are, you know, we do need some type of source of, you know, financiers, that type of thing that can fund local production. You know, I've heard, you know, we really need a direct Savannah to LA flight. We need to continue to build the crew base, which is growing every year, but that needs to continue happening. But the lack of a true soundstage in Savannah, you know, full size, you know, at least 20,000 or 30,000 square feet, mm-hmm. With that's really hurting the industry. And there have been, and I know from practical experience, I can give you a true life example. Mm-hmm. The show Preacher on AMC.
Oh, yeah.
So they just filmed season three. Or they just, I think they just showed season three. But at the end of season one, they filmed season one in Albuquerque. And they wanted to move. So they narrowed it down to either Savannah or New Orleans. And they loved Savannah. They loved the fact that there's a local incentive through CETA, of course, the state incentives. They love the scenery here, the people. The only thing we could not offer was a true soundstage where they could come in for months and months, build their sets, have them set up in the space they needed. And so they ended up going to New Orleans. So the fact we did not have that, when you look at Atlanta, there's more than 60, you know, and then zero here. There are some smaller ones, but not anything to that scale. And that's what we need, whether it's, you know, I was involved in an effort to try to purchase the Coastal Empire Fairgrounds, which is still sitting there unused, but that Quonset hut would be perfect. You know, we've got I don't know what the plans are with the Savannah Civic Center, for example. Perhaps that may be a possibility.
Yeah, I think it's getting tore down and maybe a park, reestablishing part of it as a park as it originally was. I mean, there's talk either way. I don't know what the final decision on that is.
You know, it depending upon plans can change, as we have all learned in Savannah, but that could well be another possibility. But, we need the city to invest in that infrastructure if we're ever going to, you know, push to the next level in terms of Savannah as a production destination.
Yeah, I agree. I pass a lot of buildings. I pass the Regal Cinema that closed down. There's a place that you could screen films at. Most of Savannah Mall is, it's Savannah Mall. And, I pass something on I-16. I see this big old blue building for sale there, and it looks like it'd be a pretty good grip and electric, a prop place or something. We need to work on that infrastructure, and there may be things we don't know about, but having that investment and really investing in building Savannah up, I don't want to say from the bottom, but building it up into the Savannah brand. And so no matter what comes our way, we don't have to worry about outside influences. They're going to have to worry about us because they're going to be competing with Savannah. They're going to try to take the crown from us, and we're not going to let it go that easily.
Right.
So
I know there has been a lot of interest in building local producers and content and that type of thing. And that would be the best of both worlds for sure.
Yeah. So we're definitely hoping that, or you're hoping that this is going to be a Savannah tradition that happens every year. And so.
Oh, the gala?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely with the gala.
I think that anybody that attends this first year, if it goes like I believe and hope it will definitely want to come back the next year. I think it will only grow larger. And, we're so excited about it. At SavannahFilmAlliance.org.
SavannahFilmAlliance.org.
Tickets and information.
There you go. The event of the season, September 28th, 2019. Gosh, it's going to be 2020 before we know it. somebody said they want Barbara Walters to come back on New Year's Eve and just, say, it's 2020. I think that would be classic.
I
would love to see that. There's about a billion questions I want to ask you, and we still have some time. What are ideas that you think a local filmmaker that's up and coming ways that they can generate income for their project? I mean, do you have any ideas on how they can generate their own, I know some people do Kickstarter, they do different things like that, GoFundMe, and stuff like that. But I wonder, is there something else out there that they can grab a hold of and make their business model? I don't know.
I mean, that's always the biggest challenge, that every project is raising the money. If you find someone that wants to invest, whether it's through one of the crowdfunding sites or just a private investor, that's always fantastic. But it is definitely a challenge. I will say to anyone interested in the industry, it's one of the last true merit-based start-at-the-bottom industries where, no one comes right out of school and is the showrunner for The Walking Dead. You really have to go in, start, whether it's as a PA or
it's a PA, if it's something that
start
big
at the bottom and, really distinguish yourself, work hard, be polite and pleasant, and I guarantee you that will be recognized and appreciated, and you can rise through the ranks very quickly. But I don't want people to have mistaken impression that you could just step right in and direct.
Hi, Mr. Cruz. I'm going to be the DP today.
Exactly.
Mr. Cruz says, "Who's this person?"
That's one reason what the Georgia Film Academy is doing is so crucial and important, because it does give that initial training, that understanding of what it's like to have a career in the industry. And, they've got the internship program, which actually gets you on films and gets you the practical experience. And,
I'm a product of that. Yeah. And I'm forever. It changed my life. I remember first day I was on Galveston, I got to be an intern, and I just remember mind blown. I'm like, you know, I thought I knew everything, and then just, you know, and then I got later on, I got my own professional equipment, and I was like, wow, this is not as easy as it looks. It's never as easy as it looks. When people say, you know, that's easy, you work in film, you don't really work. They have no idea the hours like actors take to perfect their roles to get, I mean, it's so many different levels. And what I love about the film industry, especially in Savannah, is there are so many different departments you can work in. I mean, you can, you know, you may PA on this, you may work on someone else's film, they may work on your film. There's a lot of these circles in Savannah that, you know, people would, you would think if you all you listen to is social media, you would think that everybody's against everybody, everybody disagrees with everybody. But I've met so many different types and of people, different personalities from different walks of life, and we just coalesce when we get on set. You know, rarely have I ever had that I can even think of a bad experience on set. You know, when you get there, you're a small family, and where else do you get to do that? And, you know,
that's true. And also, I will say that, you know, through my representation of some of these productions, almost mm-hmm. invariably, the producers, directors, when it's all said and done, talk about, you know, the talent level of the people in Savannah and how tremendous it is, and what a pleasure it was to work in this city, mm-hmm. just from, you know, people being so nice, so accommodating, and just the skill level of the people in the industry here is, you know, very high.
I had one of my instructors, he was talking about when I was in years ago in GFA, he was saying, you know, when they came from New Mexico and came here, he said some of the productions, you have to realize that they're not from Savannah. They don't have that southern nicety about them. You know, sometimes they're very direct, and if you wear your heart on your sleeve, you're going to get your feelings hurt in this industry. You know, and you got to have a tough skin. But I mean, people I think are ultimately good. You know, they really are. And it's just they have to, you know, we do things a little differently. We do it a little slower here, you know. But I just think we have that attention to detail. That's what it is. Yep. And but we sure love to talk.
Well, it's interesting. And I would say this to any listeners that maybe are just listening in out of curiosity and aren't really familiar with the industry. I think we're at a position with the industry right now where we were with tourism not long after Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil came out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, suddenly there was this explosion after the book came out. Yeah. And there were a lot of, you know, local residents that, you know, were unhappy with the fact that now there's people tromping through their front yard and, you know, blocking traffic. And that's very understandable. I completely understand. So the city then, you know, put some regulations in place to try to control that. And as knowledge grew about what a boon the tourism is to the economy of the city and to all of the different, economic sections of the city, but really everyone benefits from it, then, you know, that's the same way we are now with the film industry. You know, it's really taking off. It's really, you know, getting larger and larger every year. And people are now just starting to understand what a benefit it is to businesses across the entire city. And, you know, yes, you're going to run across a street that's closed or things like that.
Right.
But as long as the productions are considerate of the neighborhoods and the residents, I think that, you know, we'll reach that same level where people have an understanding of how this is mutually beneficial all the way around.
Yeah, the locations department, they love that. They love to talk to people that are disgruntled or inconvenienced. You know, why is it 2:30 in the morning and that big light is shining, but it's not shining on their house? But, you know, I can think of stories, but yeah, it's almost like planning a party. Nobody wants to plan the party, but everybody wants to attend. You know, we you know, if the street is closed one day, you know, because they're making Lady and the Tramp, you know, or something like that, you know.
You mean Goodbye Stranger?
Goodbye Stranger. Yes, that's what I said.
That was a major eye roll, by the way.
Yeah. I am about to roll my eyes. No. But I know that was a secret that didn't keep long, did it?
No, it did not.
Especially whenever it was snowing, you know, or looked like it did, and they did a wonderful job. But, you know, yes, we have those inconveniences, but when you go and you see your city on the big screen and you see a Disney production or whatever, you see, I can't think of any films right now, but, you know, you see Forrest Gump, you know, and you see all these places, oh my gosh, that's that, you know. Savannah's such a gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful destination to film. I hope it never becomes old hat. You know what I mean? You know, just
right.
So passe. Oh, we're filming in Savannah. You know, that's good for us. But, you know, I hope the location stay fresh. And, you know, and I'm sure it will. Savannah's always growing and evolving. And we need to embrace that if we're going to get that at next level. Tourism, like you said, I mean, Savannah is big on tourism. You know, let's get the film industry there, too. And it may already be, you know, I don't have numbers in front of me, but they're both vitally important to let the world see the beauty we have and make them feel comfortable. And I think that's what we do best in Savannah, make people feel comfortable, you know. Welcome. Come on in. Here's some sweet tea while you're at it, you know.
The hostess city, right?
We are very much so, the hostess city. So, gosh, we're running out of time here. there's a lot I want to ask you. So do you enjoy law? I don't know. Generic question there.
Well, that is absolutely 100% dependent upon the day.
Is it Friday yet? Office hours? Oh, we are closed.
No, it's a great profession. And, you know, I had a quote in the recent South magazine where I said, mm-hmm. you know, my favorite part about being a lawyer is the ability to fight injustice and stand up to bullies and,
you're a superhero.
You know, help people, you know, achieve their dreams and goals. The second best part is the fact that I actually get paid to read and think and talk and argue, which are all things I would do anyway.
Wow. That's good. You know, you can't argue as much in the film industry. You just kind of got to do what you got to do. Wow, you've been named Business Advocate of the Year back in 2015 by the Savannah Morning News. You chaired the 24th annual Kiss a Pig campaign.
I did.
Okay, was it nice kissing the pig?
Well, I wasn't the one that actually had to kiss the pig.
Okay,
the people who raised the most money.
Okay.
Got to actually kiss the pig. Those lucky devils
for the American Diabetes Association. That's awesome. You were a graduate of the 27 Leadership Southeast program. You have received the Martindale Hubble AV preeminent rating, the highest rating based upon confidential surveys sent to other attorneys. So you have the respect of others in your field.
Well, thank you, Ed.
Okay. Oh, I'm not an attorney. I don't know. You've been selected by members of the State Bar of Georgia as one of Georgia Trends 12th Annual Legal Elite in two categories for business law and corporate law. And you're the author of two ebooks. What are those ebooks about?
Well, actually three.
Three,
I think.
Okay.
You have old information. It's probably
Sorry.
Off my website.
Okay. To my assistant, you're fired.
But one on on entertainment law and filming in Savannah, one on trademark and copyright, and then one just on how to form – how to choose the correct business structure for right. your small business, and then how to form it once you choose it.
Awesome. All right. Is there any where can people reach you again? We're about to close the show here. It's been fascinating.
All the information about the gala can be found at SavannahFilmAlliance.org, or if you'd like to just simply be a member of the Savannah Film Alliance, fill out the little contact information on there and just send me your email address and I'll put you on the list. Again, August 1st at Savannah Tech, 3 to 5 will be the next Savannah Film Alliance meeting, or thebowenlawgroup.com. I wanted just bowenlawgroup.com, but yep. It was already taken, so it's thebowenlawgroup.com.
The original and still the best, right?
So my email and phone number on that site, anybody that needs to reach out to me.
Alrighty. Is there anything we hadn't covered that you wanted to bring up?
Well, I think that you've been very comprehensive.
I try to be. Well, thank you, Mr. Bowen, Charles J. or Bowen or Bo Bowen, as your daddy called you.
That's right. Yeah, from the day I was born.
I want to make you Bo. It's something Southern and it's something, you know, that's who you are. So thank you for joining me again. I really do appreciate it. Been fascinating. Thank you to everybody on Facebook for watching and everybody listening. And Savannah on Film wants to feature film professionals at different levels. So if you're listening and you're in the industry, I'd love to talk to you too. Our email is savannahonfilm@gmail.com. That's savannahonfilm@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Facebook Live. Shout out to you. And we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube, all them other places. And I also want to remind you that Savannah on Film is a voice for the Savannah film industry. And you've been listening to Savannah on Film with your most humble host. I say that with a smile. Myself, Ed Cisevich, here on Savannah's number one radio station and number one talk radio station, WRUU 107.5 FM LP, Savannah Soundings, community radio with global, I'm going to say it, soul.
Nice.
Bye. You have been listening to another episode of Savannah on Film, where we give a voice to the Savannah film community. Please like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow us on Twitter. This program was originally broadcast on 107.5 FM in Savannah, Georgia, and worldwide on www.wruu.org. Join us next time for more intriguing insights into the vibrant Savannah film community here at Savannah on Film.